This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter. The podcast for the true martial artist.
And here we go. What's up, douchebags? That's just everybody in the room. Not the new sound guy, though. Never tracks.
Tracks is leaving.
We don't know. He says he's got real talent
that's to work with.
Yeah, that's what. Oh, I'm going in the next room. Is that what it is, huh? You got 8 bars between us? We probably have 7.5.
How many bars do we need for a complete song?
Tracks?
How many bars?
12.
Yeah. All right. I'm two thirds of the way there.
We're gonna work the rest. Yo, thank you for hitting play. This is not This American Life. This is the Ninja Rob Podcast.
Can we ask the people to maybe leave some reviews, five stars,
let's
preferably?
Do that. Let's go.
Yeah. Doing that again?
Let's talk about it.
We might want to start promoting the podcast.
Let's hear what you guys have to say, even if we don't care. Right. That's what it is. Margo, how are we doing?
Doing great. My stomach's bubbling. Might be the Diet Red Bull.
Right.
But Diet Red Bull?
Diet Red Bull, yeah.
Diet Red Bull or Diet Red Bull?
I think that's the name of the episode.
Diet Red Bull.
I think we've gotten too scatological the last two episodes.
Is that diarrhea and Red Bull together?
Yes, Diet Red Bull. So I want to ask you guys a question.
Well, let me check in with Timmy real quick. I'm sorry.
This is part of my check-in.
Oh, okay.
This is my morning.
Marco. Boom.
So my wife asked me to make breakfast for the kids.
Okay.
And then she says, can you make me something? And I was like, sure. I go, what do you want? She's like, I want eggs. I was like, all right. How do you want your eggs made? She said, well, she's like, scrambled are easier to eat.
What? Okay.
So I said, but not easier to make. Sunny side up would have been crack, crack, boom, right there. Yeah.
Yo, Timmy, yo, shaking his head.
With the scramble, before, I got a salt.
Yo, always
I got a whisk.
Out. Always dagger.
And then I got a pour, then I got a flip.
He needs the right temperature, movement.
Wait, how do you do your...
Before you go any further.
Oh, well, movement, let's get your scrambled movement. Egg recipe first.
Let's go. Yeah, let's hear the process,
mine's,
man.
Mine's
movement
easier.
Or not.
2 eggs for my wife.
Right.
Seasoned salt. Nice. If I have milk, sometimes I'll put a little milk for
splash.
The fluffiness.
Splash.
Exactly. If I have heavy cream, I'll use
that.
We want some fluff. Right? And then I use the same pan that I made the bacon in.
Always. Nice.
Super hot. Not as hot that where it burns off the, you know, but hot enough in there. Nice. And
you get the, you're moving it.
Moving it. Like the meat. Move it. Yeah, you keep it moving.
Exactly. Keep it moving.
And there we go. And then she has a wonderful breakfast.
Son. And that's exactly what
and
happened,
I made
right?
that for my wife.
Son.
Yeah.
If there's anyone in here dedicated to their wife, it's you.
Thank you.
Right.
Ah, makes one of us.
Timmy, let's check him. What's going on?
There's two recipes. The easy one is the one I normally do is I throw 2 eggs in.
Whole, as if they were starting sunny side up.
You let them cook a little bit. Once they start to turn white, then you scramble them up in the pan.
He says, I've had the pleasure of watching Timmy do this many times. So it's no big deal.
Have you had the pleasure of eating it?
No, he usually eats it himself.
But then if
I have... It's nice that you guys spend mornings together.
This was years ago, but yes.
If I have the time, I'll do it French style, which is, like you said, with the cream. Not milk, cream.
Oh, pardon me.
I would
saving
like,
the cows.
More budget.
And then you
budget.
Go low heat. And you... low heat and a constant stir.
Sounds like you're making a crepe.
No figure eights?
Huh?
No figure eights?
Just a constant stir. You need a wood spoon.
Gotcha.
But why very low heat. Because you don't want to get the plastic ruins the eggs.
Okay.
Hey, JB. Listen, this was
since we're giving out scrambled
eggs. I like high heat eggs.
Yes.
Heavy fat.
You guys are fucking animals.
Yeah. I like high heat eggs.
You guys
heavy fat. So I'm putting in a lot of olive oil. I'm getting it ripping hot and I'm throwing those eggs in there. Poof.
Your olive oil doesn't smoke though because there's a smoking point on the olive
oil.
We're showing our depth of knowledge to the people. Smoking point. Look it up.
I'm okay with it. And I let it get real hot and it puffs up real heavy. I like it like that, almost like a torta style.
Like a Japanese style omelet.
Sometimes. Or they'll say Spanish sometimes with the thick, heavy one. That's how I like mine. Throw some eggs in it, man. Sometimes you're doing an omelet or scrambled eggs? I'm doing scrambled eggs. That's how I do it. I whip them together. My eggs, I usually do 3. Whip them, hand mixer, a little bit of heavy cream, salt, some pepper, and I throw in a very high heat oil, and it's really high. And then what happens is as it just starts to fluff and fluff and fluff, I'll throw some shit in the middle, maybe some bacon.
Yeah, I used to pre-scramble the eggs and stuff, and then I realized there's zero difference. It might even be better if you do it the other way.
If you let it get too
cooked beforehand, you don't get a good mixture.
You got
to
keep
You'll have some white.
Yeah.
But if you just throw it in there, let it start to get white, and then start stirring it, sometimes use chopsticks. You get a good, really good, fine.
You have chopsticks in your house with everything that's been going on the last couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
And is everything else okay, Zibby? Since you check it, we got your eggs.
Nah, man.
Everything's good. What's going on?
I got that hand pain again.
Oh, the radiculopathy.
Hopefully it's down the left side of your arm. Any chest or back pain?
Bro.
It is the left arm.
Yeah, chest or back?
No. No more than usual.
Yo, are you doing any of the exercises from
before? Yeah, I started doing them again. It's just that I'm...
You know what? Have you seen a cardiologist lately with this weight gain? You know, might be something.
That's right.
No, it's...
Pudgy proud boy.
It went away and then I started...
Training
going hard,
again?
Going right. hard again. Yeah. I always train. I just have to...
Have you been doing any Muay Thai too or just Jiu-Jitsu?
I hit the bags and stuff.
You think anything from maybe hitting the bag?
The physical therapist guy that I was going to, he was saying everything that...
Sergey.
In Jiu-Jitsu is like... flexion, so you're constantly pulling
like
in.
Like a bear. He's right. doing a bear hug motion yeah. for yes. those listening.
Pulling in.
Those who can't see.
And even throwing a punch is coming forward.
Right? Okay.
And he said, you need to work on more extension, which would be like.
So it's not the impact of where it hurts. It's happening somewhere else.
I can't even really like.
Make a fist.
I think it's, I don't know. Actually,
can you feel your hand?
No.
Yeah. It hurts.
Because I'm saying it could.
Mostly this one, the middle finger, so or the first two.
In general, I have numbness in this
yeah.
hand.
Yeah, that's it.
It's either numbness or pain. Right now, it's pain. I'd rather have the numbness. I like the numbness.
Right, you're fine with
there's
that.
There's a secondary benefit to the numbness, but we can. That's for a different
What's
podcast.
That?
For a different podcast,
different one. So that's what you're going through right now, bro. And your back pain. You look. You just got out of the car, son. You looking just crazy tight.
If I sit in the car it takes me a while to get here.
Yeah. Gets out in segments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
son, but sorry. I told you what I do is I'll hang, I'll let my neck hang. Or sometimes if you take the roller and you put it vertically, lay on it vertically and let your shoulders come back and down. And then I just thought my way through it. I was like, mine started after doing 100 pushups a day. So yeah, what I was doing,
flexion.
I was, yeah. Well, yeah. See, that's really a smart way to put it. Push, pull. I was doing a lot of pushing. I wasn't doing enough pulling.
Right.
And that's what it was for me. Like, I just needed to do more pulling. So
it's interesting because I feel like in jiu-jitsu, I do a lot of pulling. Right. But it's a lot of squeezing, which is actually pushing.
Right, I got you.
Right, because the pulling motion is always short, quick, fast. The holding is usually longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right into Mayweather-Paul. What do we think?
Well, I did. And there was a little... Tim Fauci Carpenter over here, the fraud, yeah, the fraudster. I put the same poll out on Instagram on our Ninja Rob and my personal, not personal, but the school, the Team NJMA Instagram. And for a while, we were trending and tracking at about 80-85%. I asked, who do you think won?
One, got you.
80-85% had Floyd. And then late at night, right, I don't know. Ballots were coming in from somewhere.
Yeah, we heard about that the other night, son. Hey,
well, multiple
ballots de jour.
Multiple accounts.
What?
Different accounts. Yeah, yeah. It was very, very odd. Still, Floyd 70 was able to hold 70% on both. Yeah,
PA,
yeah.
Son, PA. Yeah.
Every vote counts.
Every vote does count.
And count all of them too.
Yeah. Make sure you count them all. Sometimes you want to recount them.
Why
would you want to do that?
Maybe five times.
Just make sure everything is on the up.
Did you actually see it? Did you see the entire thing?
I paid for it. I bought it. I watched the whole thing.
Man, ain't nothing wrong with it.
I watched the earlier fights. It all sucked.
Right.
Boxing is the worst sport.
I thought that the Chad Ochocinco fight was kind of fun.
Yeah. I thought it was funny when he got knocked down and got back up. He's like, good one, good one.
I liked, yo, don't do what that. I liked was Chad Ochocinco's motivational speech at the end.
Okay.
It reminded me of like CM Punk, like after you get fucked up, then you motivate people by saying like anything is possible. You too can get fucked up.
Yeah. Because in a celebrity boxing match.
Because people remember the last thing. You know what I mean? They'll remember the last thing.
Who are you going to remember? You're going to remember the bare knuckle boxer who's barely a fighter, or are you going to remember what Chad Ochocinco
says? Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen. So what do you, you paid for it and saw the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Timmy, what is your account of the fight as you saw it?
So clearly if there was a winner and a loser in that fight. If there were judges, right. Mayweather would have won the fight. But Logan Paul's stock went up. Mayweather's stock went down.
I mean, I think people think Mayweather, that this is an act for me, but I disagree with some of that. Not all of it, but go ahead.
So, like, Mayweather couldn't finish a guy from YouTube. And, of course, educated people know it's a much bigger guy. It can be hard for a guy that doesn't punch hard to knock out a giant athletic dude.
Right.
But the average fan just thinks that Mayweather is, why couldn't the best boxer in the world knock out a guy from YouTube?
Okay. You know? Right.
So I think Mayweather's stock went down. Logan Paul, by not getting knocked out and going the distance with him, makes him look better in the long run.
Got you. You know? That's it.
Makes him look better to who?
To his fans.
Okay.
The Logan Paul, like, of course, no boxing fan, no real fighting fan.
He didn't pull
fan.
Anybody from Florida.
I don't think Logan Paul is going to have a boxing career or anything. Like, nobody that knows fighting or boxing, it kind of went the way everybody thought it would go.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a one-sided pasting, which it wasn't a pasting. It was one-sided, but he didn't beat the crap out of the kid.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So anything to the controversy that maybe Floyd knocked him out, held him up. There's a little.
Yeah, that's not how. That's not how.
Listen, there's some video evidence out there.
Yeah, that's not how. That's not how fighting goes. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone unconscious. But a 155-pound man cannot just hold up a 200-pound man
of dead weight. I think that's that's where it would be difficult.
Like Paul got hit with harder shots in that fight than that one. You know,
and they always stop that clip. At the point where you don't know how Logan Paul recovered.
Listen, man,
that's
the film.
Why would he going out there? You're throwing salt in the game.
Listen, man, at the end of the day,
Floyd Mayweather not knock him out?
What would be the benefit to not knocking him out? Not like letting him fall.
Yeah, I don't put that much stock into the entire thing. It's just entertaining to me. So it's not a.
Yo, he's really becoming part of the media. No, look how he just started a controversy.
No, whether it did or didn't, like, it doesn't even matter. It was just the entire thing was. Like, he said what he said. He said it was going to be entertaining. That's what he wanted to do. It was cool to see the kid go in there and do what he did. Like, I'm not emotionally invested in what it is. I love the fact that the video was made. The clips are getting out there. Like, it's incredible the media age we live in that we can take these small little pieces and be like, see, he's out. And then there's a whole list of fodder where
people start writing. Dude, you talked about this last week, right?
Go ahead.
Now, I noticed on my YouTube, because now I have my phone set up to update all the apps as the new updates come out, there's a function for me to make clips of whatever video I'm watching and resend it out on my channel.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool because that's what you can make a whole. Like, I got caught catching the, you know, what are people saying? Or I think the thumbnail was. Boxers' reactions to the win, to whatever win. And then all it is a video of people's tweets. It's just a tweet after a tweet. And I'm like, oh shit, and you know, I don't watch television to read or movies. I don't go to movies to read.
I follow a Formula One guy that all he does is he just reads the news from different Formula One outlets.
Son.
Yeah, but it's crazy how, like, something that silly will.
This guy's got like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Not everybody does, though. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. Listen, man, at the end of the day, like, it's interesting for me to hear people talk about how, like, Paul is the winner. Like, he's really the winner.
So who had the best flex of the night?
Oh, I don't. I mean, it depends. It's a generational thing.
Flex.
You know what I mean?
JB, explain him a flex.
Who's showing off? Flex is showing off. So the guy with the million-dollar Pokemon card around his neck?
Yes.
Or the other guy?
That guy ended up looking...
But you know why, right? Because
Because that
he's
resonates...
He's forward-thinking.
That
he
resonates
care
more.
About Floyd's. He doesn't care about Floyd's views. Not.
And all the dudes that follow him knew what that card is.
And Floyd, to that fact, cares about this kid and what he's going to go... Because this kid is a cash cow. These kids are making good on what they're doing. He went in there and he did what he had to do. It was an
Mayweather
interesting thing. It was ridiculous, but it was...
He looked old and ineffective.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't think the point was to be effective. I think the point was to entertain it. And that's, whether it's entertaining or not, it was definitely ridiculous.
You don't think he wanted to knock him out?
I don't think so. I think he's been, he's a master at the shit talkery game. Mm-hmm. So, like,
I don't think he's a master at shit talkery.
He's great at being the heel. That's what I mean.
He's very good.
He doesn't have much interesting to say.
Yeah.
No, but, he doesn't. So he always kind
of. The character of Money Mayweather is.
That's a great character to hate. And that's all. And then it's almost, when he starts being nice, people are like, what is this?
Like, when they interviewed him afterwards, he was like, he's better than I thought he was. I was like, come on, man.
You don't want to hear that. No, you didn't want to hear that. But he was just telling the truth. And you said he looked old. He said he looked old.
Yeah.
So I watched it on Reddit.
Got you.
So I was watching a guy watching it on Reddit and listening to it. So I think Floyd, if we were to put judges on it, Floyd won. Mm. I think that if there's anybody that's going to pull fans, it might have been Floyd pulling some of Jake Paul's people, if anything at all. I don't know if there's much crossover there other than the actual money, but I think they both won, to be honest with you. You know,
Floyd did the whole promotion and everything.
But listen, but Floyd wins in the short term and the near term based on the money that's made right there and there off the event. I think Logan Paul wins off of the long term because his group of followers are like, look at what he did. Yeah, you know, I could do the same thing.
So his guys, like his brother, was screaming that he won the fight.
Yeah.
He's like, he did 50. Yeah.
50-1.
But the neat thing about it is, I wonder, and this is just, I'm just speculating, what does this do? Do Paul's fans start looking stuff up on Floyd? And do those clicks count or add anything into Floyd and the Floyd business acumen?
Probably not that much. Doing
it. If it does anything. And whether one lost or the other one, like, it was a Mayweather promotion. So if he handled it well, and they seem really good with relationships, Mayweather's organization, because you still haven't heard Dana say anything like he says, I love dealing with these guys. These guys know what they're doing.
They do business.
So they do good business. Yeah, yeah. So going especially forward, for maybe Floyd. And then Floyd's been, he's been with Showtime for a while now. So it's a fascinating thing.
It was way better than Triller.
Okay.
Because it was, they had too many guys that didn't belong in the announcing booth.
Oh,
like,
talking on.
Triller at the same time. Or at the last
Showtime
time.
Did.
Shout out to Desus and Merrill.
No, but those guys were only talking on the fights that the spectacle fights.
Yes.
They were
all spectacle fights.
No, they weren't. They weren't all. There was a couple actual pro boxing matches that occurred.
And I like the Maxwell House line when Ocho Cinco got knocked down. It was like, oh, that woke him up. That Maxwell. Yeah, yeah. So it was the coffee reference. I thought
just got to know instant coffee.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Don't disgust me.
Do you think the Paul brothers have? I think. Let me say it this way. I think the Paul brothers now have a big money sign on their back as a target that everybody's going to start coming at them in order to get a good money fight.
Like, yeah, Tyron Woodley is.
Yeah.
He got that going.
Yeah,
I don't know who Logan Paul would fight next. He's got I don't know. I think he might do an MMA fight, I think, because he said that. He said he wrestled before. So he's like, I'm going to do an MMA fight someday. So.
He does a promo at the UFC PI with Paul Acosta, I believe.
Yeah.
Where you see him.
That was
like,
a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, but he was an explosive. And from a grappling standpoint, they weren't like fighting, but they were just grappling. He was giving as good as he was getting.
Something that you get this a lot in jiu-jitsu. Like, you go into jiu-jitsu school and like the nerdiest looking guy might be the most dangerous guy in the room.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like the little skinny guy.
But Logan doesn't. They're not nerdy looking guys. These guys are. They represent.
But he's,
I think they're repping the nerds.
It's like he is.
But they're not nerdy looking.
Even though he's from Ohio, he looks like a surfer.
Jake Paul says he's like, you're going to lose to a Disney kid. Like, they were on like the Disney channel. They're YouTubers. Like, you don't look at those guys and think like, these guys can fight.
They come from the heart of North Philly. Yeah. Or, you know,
well, they were saying that like there was a lot of comparisons made with the like Thunderlips and Rocky.
That's what I used.
Yeah,
and
I heard
the
same
meme,
thing.
Yeah.
I heard it. I heard it from somewhere else. Yeah. The same, you know. So he looked great, though. The kid looked great. He looked like they were having a great time.
I don't know if people.
But I think there's a dollar sign target on.
I don't know how long this
back.
Money train is going to last.
Listen, man.
Right, but what I do know is I think that it's showing kids that have potential to fight, but also that. Hey, if I build my own following, if I can, you know, I get to keep all the money as opposed to a piece of the money, right? Which has happened a lot in the music industry, right? Where it's like, do I want 2 cents on every record sale? Or do I want 100 on a smaller amount, which makes me more money? So there might be a shift in people moving into certain like organizations where you'll see Paulo Costa is a big example that he's been complaining about UFC fighter pay. And that's 100% correlated to the Logan Paul brothers are doing.
And, and remember that they may also be responsible for the new set of eyes, all the younger people that are going to become more interested in boxing. You know what I mean?
I think the problem with boxing is that
it's boxing.
When you watch it, it sucks.
Okay,
like the best fighters on that card, it was a good fight. And it was still boring. You know what I mean? Like, you can watch two.
But you could say the same thing about a high-level jiu-jitsu match.
I would say the same thing.
It's the most ridiculous thing
I
ever.
I know. So if you're a fan of jiu-jitsu, you'll watch it. If you're a fan of boxing, you'll watch it. If you're not...
You don't think it gives an opportunity for these kids to learn about boxing and try to start to get in it? We'll have more Pokemon.
I think when you see like a sport like UFC is so much more exciting, and there's dynamic knockouts like almost all the time.
Right.
There's multiple ways to win, and then you watch boxing. It's like Devin said it. He's like, he can't really watch it anymore.
Right.
I can watch it and I can appreciate some of the technique, but it's still, I recognize it. It's same with jiu-jitsu. I recognize it. It's kind
of
boring.
Yeah, and there's part of it is boxing hasn't, you know, like what's changed about boxing in the last 50 years?
Nothing.
Right? You know, and I don't know if there's much that can be changed, but what would you change about boxing to make it more exciting and not MMA? Like not adding aspects of MMA to it.
Yeah, you can't.
You just add headbutts.
Nah, they're gonna change the rules. They're just gonna bring in new people, doing new things, different faces. That's
right,
all
but that, now this the problem might be where the kids that would have gone to boxing are now looking like, is it an easier path to become a YouTube sensation, then possibly fight, maybe do an MMA fight?
I like what
get paid to fight some other YouTuber, which guys are getting now. So
Dana White said, because Costa was talking about the pay.
Yeah.
And Dana was like, why don't you start a YouTube channel when you're 13 years old and then you could get the same money.
Right.
It's like, that's what, and Ngannou said the same thing. He said, what are we doing wrong? He's like, you're not a famous celebrity. You're a fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you get paid what a fighter gets paid. They get paid what movie stars get paid because they're stars.
Right. But also they're locking themselves in. And unfortunately, you know, like the UFC is the only place for you to show who you are in MMA right now in the world. Right. So what other opportunities? There is no opportunity out if you're just a fighter to become that star.
Yeah.
So.
You could do it yourself. He could start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, but who wants to listen to Paulo Costa?
Good point.
Who would have? You could have said the same thing about who the fuck wants to listen to Logan Paul?
Apparently a lot
of people. Right, but he did that himself. He got people to watch him from the
time
he was a
little
kid. But
he had the Disney training. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, so
is that what he is? He's originally a Disney kid?
Like, Costa now has a huge audience.
Yeah.
So he could use that. He could build that up to more if he wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know. How does he start doing the ridiculous stuff like the Paul brothers do?
Yeah, that's how you get eyes on you.
But then can you do both? Right? Can you do that and also be successful in MMA, right? No. That's the issue.
Because it's your job. Because whatever you do, it's your job. So moving on, the next one is Shields and Elkinson.
Yes.
Elkson.
Did you watch that fight?
I saw all highlights of it.
I watched it.
Oddly, I watched the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing as well. Was it
a come from behind victory?
It was.
She was getting like taken down and stuff.
Yeah. And then the post fight stuff, she was really honest too. She was like, she said, I went into this round. She was like, yeah, I know I lost this round. And then she was like, yeah, I know I lost this round.
She did know exactly what
she was doing. Three or five?
Three. And were they 5 minute rounds, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So what do you think of it, Hef?
It was scary when she let her hands go. Like how crisp, clearly, because
she saw clips of her hitting her.
It was, I'm like, fuck, like that's some scary shit coming at this girl that looks like she can't handle too much stand up, but she didn't get knocked out by him. So
number one, right?
Number two, even though she got dominated in the first two rounds, she did do some things that showed that she was really training for this fight, not just boxing the whole time.
Right.
Right. Like her sprawling, trying to hip escape from bottom, bumper rolls, right. You know, like those kinds of things showed me that she's really taking the MMA training seriously. And then the third round, which is something that I talk about an awful lot, is the girl loses the fight because she played jiu-jitsu and Clarissa Shields was fighting MMA. And that's the kind of feel that I got.
I was surprised by her composure, like being taken down. You can see she didn't seem to panic. She didn't seem to get hurt either. No, she seemed like she was just moving the way she was supposed to be moving. And there were times when I thought it was over because when she got on top of him, we all understand how dominant jiu-jitsu can be. But there's always that other thing.
It looks like she's pretty strong too.
No, definitely. I'm sure she is. But the fact that she maintained her composure, and she said afterwards she just has that never give up attitude. So it's real interesting. What parts did you see, Timmy?
I saw some clips of her getting taken down, clips of her getting hit on the ground, and then clips of her hitting the girl on the feet. I didn't see the finish, though. I didn't see the end.
Okay. Finish was from like a weird half guard.
She dropped her?
No, I can't really remember how they got there. It might have been a reversal or a defending of a takedown in the girl. Yeah. And there's another issue with jiu-jitsu, especially if you have someone that's fighting MMA versus someone that does jiu-jitsu in MMA, is that the first line of defense, if you can't get a takedown, is what?
Pull guard.
And that's where she got toasted.
Yeah,
it was strong. They stopped it. So I wonder if she was going to tap or if she was on the brink of tapping or she never thought about it.
Because she stopped defending herself.
She might have got hit like 20 times.
Who, the other girl?
Yeah, Elkins. And she got...
Yeah, she worked for a Fight to Win.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that. She's pretty... like she's got like a brown belt or something?
Yeah, her... I think her MMA record was like 3-5 or something.
Yeah, so yeah. They clearly...
There was a good armbar attempt that Shields but still, got out it's of. Like,
that's a
nice win for Clarissa Shields.
For someone with no MMA fighting to fight someone with on 8 fights. 7 months
worth of training.
That's also impressive. High level, like, you know, brown belt in jiu-jitsu versus somebody mm-hmm. that never did jiu-jitsu till 7 months ago. It shows you...
I saw the girl on the feet looked very stiff.
Yeah. But she also did, like, she was kind of smart in the first round where she kept her lead arm out.
And she was tall. She was fighting tall.
So she was keeping her lead arm out to make it harder.
Old school, like Hoist Gracie stuff.
A little bit, but also
she
would throw her kicks, but also just making it hard for Clarissa to gauge where, right? And maybe
that was one of the things with the Mayweather fight was Logan Paul. So, like, Floyd's never fought a guy that's like 6'2, 6'3, 200 pounds.
Right.
And in between rounds, his Floyd's trainer or coach was like, he's like, set it up with a jab, set it up with a jab.
Floyd
was
like,
I can't hit him with a jab. Like, I think he was having trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of the shots that he would normally hit, he could jump in with a right hand and stuff. He just had that extra 6 inches to cover that he couldn't, the timing was off.
But also, since Logan isn't trained as a boxer, he's not programmed to engage in a certain way.
Yeah, he's not standing the right way.
It's like when you go against a white belt, they can throw you off. Or even if you spar with a guy that doesn't know how to box.
Like, he can give you 2 minutes of work.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
What were the things that Shields didn't, that you think she lacked and she needs more work on?
Didn't do. So even though I did say at one point, like, I complimented her takedown defense, also, like, in certain areas, just her takedown defense was trash. Bad, like, she got taken down a little bit too easily. I think she's probably much further along than any other 1-0 fighter that's never fought. Amateur MMA is
right,
so I don't. Yeah, she could get better at this, her jiu-jitsu, her this, her that. But I think I need to be correcting myself. She's much past where she should be.
Gotcha.
I think she's tracking correctly to be very successful because she looks like she's working at everything. How old is she? She threw kicks. I don't know.
She's in her 20s, I believe.
She threw kicks. I can't recall if she tried any takedowns. Yeah. Her takedowns. The one that she got was a reversal, and then she got reversed.
Right,
but that's something that can be fixed in the gym.
When I saw things, it seemed like she didn't have the ground body awareness. So at one point they're kind of scrambling, and she's kind of just stuck on her butt as opposed to going to the hips and turning and knowing exactly what.
And
it
that's
is.
It, that's so that's just a, an experience.
That's a time
that,
thing. Yeah. Like the only way
I think
you
it'd
get
be crazy
point,
to see her. Like, I think we talked about it before when we were just talking about her fighting. Like, if she came out and hit a takedown on somebody. Like,
well, you said that as a point of strategy, like, to really fuck them up.
Yeah, like that would, because I bet it would have been pretty easy for her to take that girl Elkin down because all she's worried about is getting punched.
Well, like, what's the opposite, right? If you come in as a really good wrestler and you fake a couple level changes, then you get that reaction. You can let your hands fly, your knees, and your kicks.
That's what you do. So it's funny. So transitioning into MMA, what do you think most difficulties are that people face? Right off the bat, if we're going from, so I have it broken down from karate, which is something I know I can answer, but boxing, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. What are some of the kind of core things that people are going to have to face every single time?
I think, obviously, if you are a pro boxer, you don't know ground or takedown defense, that kind of stuff. But I think even more than that, it's the same thing that MMA fighters have when they go into boxing, is the pace is completely different. The timing's different. So like striking an MMA with little gloves, when you can clinch and hold people on the fence or somebody can shoot and take down, it's a lot different. So you can be a world-class striker in kickboxing. So we've seen lots of like high level world-class strikers come into the UFC and just get knocked out by guys that aren't
everything too. Like, one guy is a wrestler, another guy's a judoka.
But you'll see a wrestler knock out a world-class kickboxer, stuff like that happens. And it's, in a kickboxing match, there's no way that could happen. But because of all the variables and the different pace, I think it can completely throw off like the advantages. And that's why I think Tyron Woodley against Jake Paul, I think he's going to have a tough time because the pace is going to be a lot different.
Right.
Everything's going to be a lot different than what he's used to, even if he's done a lot of boxing sparring.
What was it like for you transitioning from just straight jiu-jitsu into MMA?
It's pretty rough. Yeah. First one. I mean, I wasn't used to getting hit and stuff, but I don't know. I didn't.
And you've also boxed, so you've had.
When I first started like training in a boxing gym and like boxing with guys, it was tough to get used to the pace of it. Right. But I had good enough cardio and I was like mentally tough enough to just kind of keep going. Even though if I was getting beat up, I could still last with almost anybody in the gym as far as like cardio wise. Like nobody tired me out. So I wasn't like getting tired and getting beat up. I was just getting outskilled. But I could, a lot of times I could break guys that were better than me just by pushing a pace on them and eating a lot of punches and then, you know.
To sacrifice.
So I mean, being in shape, I think, helps a ton. If you can be in good enough shape to be able to push a pace on either side, if you're a boxer, so if Clarissa Shields is in good enough shape where even if she gets taken down and loses a couple rounds, she still has the power left in her to fight at the end. I think where most people screw up is they're just not in the condition to do what they're not used to doing.
Marco.
Yeah, so oddly, I agree with Tim with most of what he's saying, right? It's the totality of MMA that makes it difficult for anybody coming from a different modality, right? Could be a karate, mm-hmm. straight jiu-jitsu, right? Like the things that you're just not used to, which we all know what they are. The other thing that, though, is, and this, I talked about this the other day in class, was the expression of a level of athleticism in a way that you're not used to, right? Like there's certain athleticism that's expressed in boxing that you wouldn't see in MMA. There's certain athleticism in MMA that gets expressed that you would never see in boxing or karate, and kind of seeing, okay, wow, this guy's explosive here and he twists here and he moves this way, and I've never had to deal with that.
Right.
You know? So anytime you're transitioning from one to the next, it's just one of those things. I mean, it's a learning curve. It's one of those things you can only accomplish better body awareness through doing it.
Training and fighting.
Better training. That's the only way to do it.
How much more comfortable were you after your first fight going into your second fight as opposed to having no fights going into your first fight?
I was like night and day. Second fight, it's just, I don't know. Until you've been hit, you don't know how you'll react. You know what I mean? And you could have been hit in a street fight or anything like
even
that.
You've been hit in boxing.
Yeah, you're getting hit with boxing gloves on, but getting hit with like little MMA gloves, you just.
With bad intentions.
You have no idea what that's going to feel like or how, like, if you're going to fall or if you're going to be there after it happens. So I think once you felt like what real punches feel like, I think that's what sort of like made the second one way easier.
I wonder what if Clarissa Shields, part of her mindset is, you know, if I can get my hands on these girls, I'm going to knock them out. And if this changes now that she hit this girl pretty flush, it looked like a few times right. And didn't, especially mm-hmm. with the, cause the boxing people might say, man, she hits her once. She's going to knock her out with those little 4 ounce gloves and her hands taped up. So
yeah, those people obviously wouldn't understand the dynamics of the entire situation in order to get that off. Cause the amount of leverage she had, you know, in her standard boxing fights compared to what she had, you know, her hips are sinking into the mat. She's just punching this lady over and over.
She's got shoes on to help.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing.
Punching itself is different with the little gloves compared to the big gloves. Like throwing, like a left hook in MMA, like with a boxing glove on, you can kind of hit like with this, with like the front part of your knuckles, you can do a lot. But in MMA, you either have, if it's at that distance, you usually have to turn over.
We call that the radiolopathy side.
Or you have to sort of, it almost becomes like a slap with your knuckle. So the punching sort of mechanics change a lot between small gloves and big gloves.
And how long is the transition, you think? For 7 months worth of training.
I mean, I think she's,
like you
enough
said,
for
right
her.
On track, right?
Yeah. I think she's better than right on track.
Right.
I think she'll do well.
So what's your, you know, for you, because we covered jiu-jitsu.
What it was for me, it was just an attitude thing. It was just, I want to learn how to do this in order to beat it. And I was lucky enough to have the kind of karate instructor that he would say, yeah, go ahead, do different things. So the transition was, I also had the wrestling. So that was very
natural.
Say
for somebody that's not you, since you have some grappling, right?
Say, gotcha.
Like a Lyoto Machida, what do you think his, when he first got into MMA, what do you think there's some of the big issues coming from karate for him?
It was just timing and learning distance, range, all the things that are important in any single fight, and understanding just the body movement. You know what I mean? Where are you going to check them? How are you going to do what you're going to do? Which way are you going to move?
He did do
in
sumo,
and out.
Though, I forgot.
He did a lot of stuff. Yeah, so, you know,
Lyoto.
Machida. But those guys are well-versed in a lot of things. But your average guy, the first thing I would say is drop any bullshit, you know, preconceived notion you have about how standing up fighting is fighting and how these guys lay down on the ground.
But also the opposite is true, because you know jiu-jitsu people are
that's way more accommodated than other. Like the karate guys.
But I think it's way less now.
Maybe.
I think.
You know, a lot of guys, you'll see, because I remember, and I've just always learned to be polite. So I remember when I would first encounter guys that did jiu-jitsu, it would just be like a joke. Oh, these guys, look at this. This is...
I got a quick question. Do you shit on any other martial arts at your school? Like when you teach?
Constantly.
You say, karate's bullshit.
You're like, Aikido. I hate Jeet Kune Do.
No, I mean, Aikido, maybe.
But I'm saying, like, not on a regular. I could recall. I don't do that.
It used to be like.
It was part of the marketing.
No. When I first started, I'm sure same as you, but.
I started before you, by the way.
Yeah. It was like karate had nothing to offer. It was like no other martial art was worth fucking anything.
Right.
Maybe boxing, but even that, it was like if you get your hands on them, like nobody can resist.
A boxer guy, as they would say.
But I think Machida changed that. He's the first guy that showed like you could do karate in a real fight. Like if
I mean he's not the first guy,
but he's the first guy I think that let the MMA community know that karate was dangerous.
For me,
I'm sure a karate person understands.
For me, it was more like it was Maury Smith when I saw him kick Silvieri across the
face. He was a kickboxer, a K-1 guy.
He was a stand-up fighter,
striking.
This is a big win for stand-up guys. That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, I'm a young man. I rented this pay per view. Right, we took the VCR from one. We only had one. Take it from somebody's house. Brought it to my house. We paid for it. So to watch him, you know, not climb on top of this guy and do something that I don't know what he's doing, and then it ends. You're like, it's so anticlimactic. Right. It's like, what is this? This is goofy. To see this motherfucker get kicked upside his fucking dome, son, and just timber like a fucking tree was like, yes. And at that point, it meant something about the difference between standing up, this or that.
But it's also problematic to the state of traditional martial arts in this country, how they're viewed, how they're marketed, and who they really teach. Because it's more about, you know, if you talk about karate, everybody automatically assumes it's for kids, right? Yeah. And no adults
There's
do
a lot
that.
Of people that
and
think
that was
that, yeah.
much different in the 60s and 70s. And then in the 80s, 90s, it started changing.
It all has its wave. So it's the same thing with jujitsu. Like at one point, I believe that there were a few jujitsu schools and you had to be a good school to kind of get it done. And now, you know, things are changing. It's a little more open. People are being nicer. Like it you don't have, you can drop out.
And there's not
that
Gracie marketing of we beat these guys. Proved what they needed to prove, and it's assimilated into the greater martial arts world.
And it's also evolved. It's also evolved and changed that now you have guys. It's funny that it's so old that it's new. You're like, how'd you knock this guy out? I've been in a boxing gym for months now. And blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, you threw him. Oh, I've been doing judo. So you pack it all together, then you unpack it, you specialize, and you do those kind of things. But the one thing you have to do is
you smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
All right. So one thing you have to do is when you come in, you have to be ready and willing to learn something different. And if you hear guys talk about how what you've been training in for years is bullshit, you can't really pay attention to that because guys aren't going to really know. And most of the guys that kind of pop that serious shit, they don't really, they're just super fans, but they don't train in anything. So it's one of those things. It's the kind of stuff that you end up seeing all the time. So right into it. Let's get into UFC 263, gentlemen. What do we think? Tonight,
I don't know much about Leon Edwards other than he was given a two-piece and a biscuit by Jorge Masvidal, and apparently he's supposed to be a really good fighter that just doesn't fight enough.
They say he has a hard time getting fights. Nobody wants to fight.
Right.
Got you.
So
underdog 500 at minus 500.
But like, I really love the Diaz brothers, but there's huge holes in the way they fight. And if you could, you know, there's blueprints on how to beat them.
Got you.
And one of them is leg kicks. Right, the other one is taking them down and not getting submitted. So if you can get off leg kicks, or if you could get them to get cut, right? There's another thing that those guys kind of cut pretty easily. So if Leon Edwards is as good as people say he is, and he comes in with the right game plan, I'll go with Leon Edwards as the winner in that fight.
So that's on the main card. Any fights before we get into the main card? Any other fights you're interested in?
I don't know what else is.
I don't even know who else is fighting on the other.
Oh, you're not.
But
you're
I'm
not,
also okay. going with
yeah, it's a big name
Marvin Vettori. Never seen him fight.
And he's
Forza Azzurri, as we say. Forza Azzurri.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's
he's Italian. I'm going with
the Italian. You go with the Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
The Confederation.
Strong, it means strong blue?
Strong blue.
Strong blue. Whatever
blue strong. Forza
Azzurri. Is there blue in the Italian flag?
No, there's not. But if you look at their jerseys for World Cup soccer, it's
blue. Completely different sport. So I don't get it.
Fuck. Make a good point.
He's just, listen, man, he's going for it.
But I'm going with my guy.
Italia. How about that?
All right, we go with Forza Italia. How about Forza Italia. Marvin?
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Forza Marvin.
Marvin,
Tim,
that's what it is.
Who are you picking for this
Marvin
fight?
Vettori.
No, but good before Roman that, lad. With Diaz, okay. What do you think? Pontificate, please.
I think
talk your shit.
Leon Edwards is going to probably TKO by a cut.
Okay.
But Diaz brothers, like, they can win if they can suck you into their into a boxing match with them, or they can take you down and get on top. But if
I mean, they don't really take many people down.
Right. If they can, yeah. Nah, they do sometimes. I think his last fight, was his last fight Masvidal or was it Pettis?
Yeah, I don't know.
But he
the guy that fight watches all the fights. Yeah. I watch fighting.
I know fighting is a big difference. Heyo.
Yeah, I think if Edwards has any discipline, which he seems to have from his other fights, he seems like a very like disciplined, well-rounded fighter. He should beat.
So you're going with Diaz, the underdog. He's minus 500.
Leon Edwards.
Who you got, JB?
I'll go with Diaz. I just like his bullshit. You know what I mean?
I love him and his.
Like, yeah, I just like his
I
bullshit.
Love those dudes.
And I've seen him in person, and he's a really nice guy.
He hasn't fought we in were like eating 3 years, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he's so entertaining, son. Like these guys. This guy needs his own show.
Oh, dude, they're amazing.
If he doesn't have his own page, so what about the Damian Maia fight?
He's fighting?
Oh, yeah. Who's he fighting?
Muhammad?
Oh, Bilal Muhammad.
Bilal Muhammad. Yeah.
Who I think is a jiu-jitsu guy that's transitioned into MMA.
Yeah. No.
No?
Bilal? I thought he was a wrestler.
Plus 200.
You're thinking of Damian Maia.
No. I already know about Damian.
He's a jiu-jitsu guy that transitioned to MMA. Good call. Yeah, I think Damian Maia is going to win that one.
Really? Heffa, what do you think?
I'll go with Damian Maia because this might be his last fight in the UFC, right?
Really?
I think.
On the end of his contract?
Possibly.
I can understand that. And and Adesanya, so you're saying he's losing?
Adesanya's trash.
You think so?
He's going to get fucked up.
No, really. Come on, stop.
I think Marvin Vettori is going to win.
Really?
Because Vettori is like a well-rounded, he's not like great at anything, but he's well-rounded.
Like, is he the new guy? Like the guy that's, sometimes you can see.
No, he's not. He doesn't seem to be that special. He's similar to Blachowicz.
You know what's funny, man? These guys always seem to have the same tattoo, though. Like they always have the same tattoo, those guys.
But what could be in Marvin, other than being Italian and an amazing Roman.
Of course.
The DNA of the Roman warriors.
Of course.
You know, the gladiators and stuff is... The Blachowicz fight is another example of, hey, here's a blueprint for how you beat Adesanya. And if you follow it, try your best.
We'll see. And hopefully they...
And he lost a split decision to Adesanya before.
It was supposed to be pretty close. Now, who did you pick, JB? I was in my thoughts.
I'll go with Adesanya.
I think the smart money would be on Adesanya, but
he's up, but...
I like upsets.
I can understand.
Now, the smart money is on Marvin Vettori because he's Italian.
That's it. That's...
According to
Marvel.
Yeah, those Italians are so accomplished.
Bro, look, come on, son. They've done all kinds of... Who brought you pizza? Who taught you how to eat?
Who built the aqueducts?
That's what it is, son. That's what it's all about. Timmy, things you only see in the city.
Humans taking a shit out in public.
You said this. I like how you're worried about your carbon footprint. Can't recycle bits from the week prior.
Hey-o.
Wait, what?
You talked about this last week.
Oh, it's a recycling joke.
Yes. It's in the blue bin in front of my house.
Things you only see. I mean, you've ripped and run through the city for years, too. So, like, I'm sure you've seen all kinds of funny shit. Shit that you only see. I can start.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of crazy homeless people and, the amount of crazy people.
Crazy people.
Yes. That's the only thing. You don't see that in the suburbs. Right. Every suburb has like
you'll
one.
See a no, little bit.
They have a known crazy person in the town,
like the guy that walks up and down the entire boulevard.
Like
all
there
the
was
time.
A guy in my hometown of Westchester called Rooster.
Okay,
he was like this real tall guy that had like red hair that stuck up.
Got you.
Oh,
and
he would
like walk with a paper bag held up to his face, and he would yell at people as he walked by them. Right. But everybody knew him. He was like.
Yeah, see, in Philly, every neighborhood has that guy.
Yes. We had a guy named Norman.
He was
an older man. I don't know what Norman's thing was. I'm a cop. And he had like a little badge.
He's like Hodor from...
I'm a cop.
Yeah.
And that's people walk up and down the street. Hey, my dad was like, hey, copy. Hey, lady. I'm a cop.
We had a guy lived across the street from Lonnie.
Yeah.
Lonnie was... I watched him knock himself out one time. Really? Yeah. I've never seen a human being... Hit himself this hard.
Right there, son. I've never seen anyone knock themselves out. Yeah. He punched himself?
Punched himself in the face at the corner in front of, what the hell was the name of the bar that was? I can't think of the name of the bar. Nice. Hard Rocks.
What?
He rocked himself hard in front of Hard Rock. Punched himself.
Yeah, the city has a monopoly on crazy people.
They do. They go there most of the time. Heroin addicts, leaning heroin.
This is yours?
This is mine. Yeah. Heroin addicts. Leaning against the wall, just bobbing.
Leaning against no wall.
Yo, nah, this guy's leaning. Yeah. You know why he's leaning against the wall? Because he's holding a baby. This motherfucker has a baby in his arms, and he's doing the dope fiend like a squat. And he's popping up. It's totally something you see in the city, so it was crazy, bro.
Where was this?
This was in Camden. Oh. In Camden, right on Broadway. Yo, how about you, Hef?
The other night, I'm coming home from dinner. Went out to dinner with JB.
Yes.
And I'm riding with my brother, and he's... through his life experiences, he could pick out a street fight quicker than anybody I've ever noticed in my life, right? Yes. For obvious reasons for those that know. Anyway, he goes, yo, those two guys fighting over there? And I'm like, where? I can't even find what he's talking about. Meanwhile, we're in a neighborhood that is very, I guess we would say, woke and accepting of all kinds of different people.
Diverse.
Yeah, that's very different. Diverse. Anyway, Good Samaritan rolls up to try and help the guy that's getting assaulted or beat up. He almost gets assaulted and beat up. The guy that was getting beat up, you see him running down the street. The guy who was committing the felony assault comes running, goes running after him down the street. So I don't think you see many of those things in like Bryn Mawr or Westchester, that kind of thing. And it really goes to show that, sometimes somebody would ask me, would I have gotten involved in that situation? And I was like, clearly no.
No, never.
Not in a regular assault. No. The only time I would get involved, if there's no weapon involved and it looked like the guy was going to get murdered, right? If it was like, I was like, hey, man, you know, that's enough.
No.
Like
growing up in Camden, I've seen
that would probably be the only reason I would get involved.
You do not get involved. I've read the end of too many films where it was just like, as an adult, he later on was murdered trying to break up a fight. Like, I'm like, that's not going to be me.
I would think pulling, like, hey, man, that's enough.
This is really what you want to do from a self-defense standpoint. You want to yell, yo, the cops. You want to start yelling, the cops. The cops are coming. You do not, that's probably the best thing to do.
Better advice than what I was.
No, really. Yeah. I mean, from a self-defense standpoint.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do.
You were just a plain coward. He was an intelligent coward.
Listen, whatever the case is, you want to.
I'm trying to prevent a murder. Okay. I'm like, hey, how do I not know that these gentlemen didn't decide earlier in the day we're going to do a sparring session at 17th and Spruce on the corner? Man. What is it my business?
Yeah, it's not your business.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Timmy? So what's, but the cowardice, son?
You're supposed to say that for the chat.
I would, okay. We're all cowards. Three little cowards.
But I go more on like what he said. Like, I don't know what these... That guy might have molested this dude's son. Like, I'm not, who am I to jump in there and stop it? Nah, unless you see, like, if a guy's being murdered.
Yeah, that would be the, but I, what you say, I think I'm going to backtrack. The cops are coming.
If you want to yell anything, if you want to get involved.
And I'll start doing a siren sound.
If you want to get involved in any way and you start yelling, the cops, that's what you want to do. When I see something start to pop off, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Like, because.
You're a civilian.
I saw this guy, these guys pulled out a taser, and in my mind was like, if the taser's now, the gun is next. Like, I'm not playing any games. If I'm somewhere, first of all, you know, I remember someone asking Phil a jiu-jitsu question, and Phil went back 12 steps that no one saw except him, right? And I didn't learn what he was teaching at that particular time, but what I did learn is that I'm not getting involved. I'm going to look at the scene the way it is, and I'm not getting involved. I'm going to check out when it's time, like appropriately. Right. Like, oh, these guys look like they don't like each other.
No, but I think your advice, especially city setting when it's people that you don't know.
The cops are coming. Because that way you
resonates.
Get out of there.
That resonates, man.
And people, everyone, no one wants he doesn't want to get arrested. Yeah. Nobody wants to go to
the bank. Yeah, I only saw, in Westchester growing up, I only saw one street fight.
Right.
Outside of a pizza place. And then...
Was it you fighting for a slice?
No, it was just two guys. I remember one guy had a boombox. This is like the 80s.
Really?
Boombox.
Radio Raheem?
And then they started fighting.
Squaring up?
I don't know who that was.
And what happened?
Radio Raheem?
One guy got all bloody. My mom was freaking out.
Yeah, of course. She's a good mom.
But then I remember when I lived in
to get you out of there.
North Philly, there was a mechanic shop.
Right.
And the two dudes that worked there stepped out. I was trying to get down the alley, and two dudes stepped out. Got into a fucking fist fight, and then just stopped and went back to work.
Right. One of those guys owned the shop, I bet you.
Yeah. The Buick still needs to get done.
That's it. Listen, man. I'm going to
beat
your
ass. It was
like 30
seconds actually, two like kind of middle-aged fat dudes like swinging at each other, and then they just stopped.
You think it was their cardio that let out, or they were just done fighting?
I think it was cardio. I think it was mutual cardio failure. Yeah.
Yo, this is a good one. Best shitty fight. Here's a shitty fight. A great shitty fight I saw. I was at a diner, son. I was at a diner, and the two Mexican busboys start going off on each other. So, bing, 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 right in front of everybody. I'm in Brooklyn with my uncle. And my uncle turns and looks at us and is like, You see, I brought you to eat, and it was a show. You see that? Like, right off. We couldn't miss a beat.
Man, bro, I was at a diner with him one time. We watched a manager beat up a waiter. A waiter.
Yo, big green light. Come here. No, come on. Yo.
It's probably his, like, yo, that family
man,
or something.
That man, who knows, man? But it was great.
Yeah, we never saw that guy again. That poor little scraggy. Yeah,
he might be in the gyro now.
Yeah, man. Have you ever seen any other shitty fights when you were, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of shitty fights.
I love a good shitty fight on the street.
The best one was...
I cornered a bunch of them.
In high school, there was a fight between two guys, and one guy's pants ripped.
Really?
And this was like a fight after school, so there was like a big crowd. Yes, his pants ripped.
Yes, yes.
And his balls were hanging out.
His balls were out.
I like how Timmy keyed on his balls. Go
they
ahead,
were
Timmy.
Big nice. Red balls.
Really?
And right, then the,
how
the,
low did they hang?
They were wrestling on the ground. So it was like his ass was up in the air.
Low?
His pants
balls
were ripped, and his like boxers were hanging. And
yeah,
his,
balls just
and then
balls
the best part was. The girls that were there were like laughing and pointing and
what, at the balls? Balls?
At the balls, yeah. The balls. It was just like it was a tense moment, and it was seeing the guy's balls brought some levity to the situation.
Yo, so that reminds me of the
when's
high school.
When was the last time you saw balls?
This morning. So high school, if you were to fight anybody, you'd go down to the platform before you throw your token or you pay for it right there. It was huge.
Right.
It's all concrete and tile. And two dudes were fighting. One guy's getting the better of the other guy. Right. And this is when they remember the puffy, mm-hmm. like leather, not when leather
goose or something like that.
Style like that. The dude that was getting beat up makes it over to his book bag. And I wouldn't have fucking believed it had I not been there and seen it, and pulls out a meat cleaver.
Really?
Bro, we're all in high school. Right. This is happening in Center City. The other kid's like starts running. He tries to hack at him. As he's jumping over the turnstiles and catches like the back of his coat.
Come
bro,
on,
I was
son.
Like, and then reminds me, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah, that reminds me of my little brother. Thank you. That's what he would say to me all the time.
By the way, this was two guys fighting from a Catholic high school.
So he took the meat cleaver with him too.
There was a kid in my high school. They were at a party.
Another thing you only see in the city, meat cleavers
and
fist fight.
And he... Two guys got in a fight. One guy ran to the kitchen to grab a knife and was doing saying he's going to kill the guy. Right. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. Just fuck up.
Did he kill him?
And no, but he ended up killing a girl a few years later, cutting her head off and stuffing it in a sewer pipe. So you don't want to like laugh at the people.
Things that only happen in Westchester.
Yeah,
things that only happen in Westchester.
So people that say they're going to kill you with a knife, you might want to take them serious.
Okay.
There's so many shitty fights though on the street. When you see two homeless people going at it, drug addicts mm-hmm. go at it, drug addict... fucking couples going at it. It's one of
they're
those
the worst.
Yo, man, just watching them go back and forth is just
couples probably the most dangerous one. To
yeah,
get
you never
in.
Get it. You never
yeah,
get
yeah, you never
that.
Do because what'll happen is then you'll get fucked up. Yep. They'll turn. We had these neighbors. So I didn't witness domestic violence as a youth when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid in home, that shit didn't go down. But my neighbors, they were fucking each other up. And one time, these guys they were fighting each other, and then this other guy jumped in to stop, and they started fucking him up. And then they forgot that they were like, yeah, we fucked him up. It was like, oh, shit, you were just beating the shit out of each other. So you want to be very careful. You want to yell, yo, here come the cops. Do shit
like
that.
Yeah, no, I think that's
the best
great
advice to ever come out of this show.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know if it's the best, but
it's pretty good.
Life-saving.
I hope it'll save somebody's life. Yo, things you're a sucker for. Good thing you're
so
a sucker.
Many things.
Yeah?
Right?
Impulse buys at like the register.
Bro, I think
actually just impulse buys in general. Like if I'm on Instagram,
if
I'm on Instagram and I see like a slingshot for sale, I'll order it.
Yeah. But not like, you know, like Leave It to Beaver slingshot made out of like something that you can actually possibly murder somebody with.
Anything.
Right.
There's this one thing I haven't got it yet, but next time it pops up, I probably will. It's like a pen.
It will when
you hit
drive
a button,
home watch.
The pen turns into like a giant bow staff.
Okay.
Like a light metal, but it's like supposed to be hard. Like stuff like that. I'm a sucker for those.
Really?
Any kind of like, especially when it comes to like, if it's a weapon, something that can be weaponized.
I think we've been trained to like our impulse buys or what those things. I did one the other day. I'm walking through Lidl and it was a escargot, a little tray of escargot. frozen. It was $5.
Bring back to your time in France.
Yeah, big time in France.
Gas station foie gras.
Well, gas station foie gras. And you just take you. I bought it. It was frozen. Put it in the oven. Boom, man.
How was it?
It was good. Yeah. 10 minutes later, it was they. So you see the shells, and they're just full of they're full of butter. Full of butter with garlic and stuff. It was awesome. And a snail, of course. I ate the ass out of that snail.
Hey-o.
But that was that's I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff too, the food stuff.
For me, it mainly happens in the supermarket with packaging of certain type foods. Like if I'm like, let me try a new sauce, like a new hot sauce or something, and I see I'm a sucker for good packaging.
Like artisanal packaging.
Not even artisanal, just something about it grabs me. Like the other day I was looking for some pre-made burger patties.
Right.
And I walked by and there was these beautiful ones that said they were made of brisket and they were pre-seasoned and this and that. And I was like, all right, man, you got me. I'm in.
You're in. Yeah. I'm 100% in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hate on sight, Timmy. Come on, bro. This. You got one. Nah, this, job.
You want time? I can jump in if you want.
Marco. Yeah, go ahead. All right, hate on sight, Marco.
Men that ask permission from their significant others to make decisions.
I can understand.
It's something that a lot of times people use as an excuse to join a martial arts gym or I need to talk to my wife about it.
Right.
And it smacks of weakness, right? And there's certain ways that you can handle it. Like from a sales, you just hand the guy, call her now. Yeah, ask her.
No, we had that. Yeah. That was part of the process.
Right. Then we went away from that. Yeah.
Do you have anyone who, if you wanted to better your life, is there someone in your life?
But just in general, if it's not like a fake way of saying no, where it's like, oh man, I don't know if I could do this. I got to talk to my wife.
See, I don't know. I think it's not so much that he's saying that he has to talk to his wife. It's that he's using his wife as an excuse to not just say, I'm not interested.
Yes. But I'm talking about the when that really is where a guy's like, oh man, if we wanted to go to dinner now, right? I call my wife, hey, I'm going to dinner with JB and Tim.
Right.
You know, I'll be home a little bit later. All right, cool. Unless there's something pressing at the house. It's always like, all right, cool. Just thanks for letting me know where you're going to be. You know, like that kind of thing. Not like, hey, is it okay if I go out to dinner with the guys?
Right.
You know, like there's guys like that, which is, I completely respect and love my wife and I'm not making decisions because I don't care about her feelings. But as long as I know, hey, you know what? She doesn't have anything pressing going on. Can I go do this? And then when she's like, hey, I'm going to the gym. All right, cool. I'll stay home and watch the kids.
Teamwork. It's called teamwork. And that's what, you know, a good, because you guys are in business. At a certain point, you guys are in business.
She
at
keeps least reminding me that.
Hey, man, you guys are in business.
She's my partner.
She's your partner, son, 100%, man. Timmy, my hate on site is hot rainy days when you don't have AC. it's been like my
you
one
don't have AC?
And this one I do. The other one I didn't. I don't. And I was just like, fuck. I thought it was going to be cool. And it's just raining. My windows are fogged up. I'm like, shit, this sucks. And you know, I got to get over to my man. So I haven't been able to do that yet. So when I see, I'm checking the weather like crazy. Is it going to rain? What's the humidity level? What's going on? I need to know because I'm going to fucking sweat like profusely.
Like cutting weight.
Damn car. It's crazy. Timmy, hate on sight.
Myself.
Okay.
So,
man,
I don't, my.
He took mine.
We've always known.
My inability to, like I said, right now I have that radiculopathy pain and it's like 100% my fault because I don't understand moderation.
Okay.
Maybe that's my hate on sight. I hate moderation.
Yeah. I do too.
It's like you're eating.
If you were with us the other night, you'd have noticed it.
So like when I start feeling good and then I start training too hard and lifting and all that shit, now I can't do any of it.
Just remember, you're more important to your students as a healed and healthy coach, in my case, professor, than you are as a banged up radiolock or whatever the fuck that's called. Ridiculopathy.
And it's suffering. It's a quality of life issue too, because like for the amount of time you do put in a lot of mat time, but there's all this other time, bro. There's all these other things.
Yeah, I feel great when I'm on the mat.
Of course.
The other 22 hours a day.
Marco, love on site.
So did you do your, what was your hate? Oh, your hate on site was humidity, rain and humidity.
My no car AC dying inside of it. Yo, trying to drive with the windows slightly open while it's raining and you have no AC is horrible.
Yeah, but you know what's worse? No heat.
I've never been there.
Yo, I drove around with, I had a Toyota Super Turbo that I loved, drove it for years with
Where
no AC.
You?
Everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Right. See, I think,
I thought that was when
I
you were
I think no AC is worse than no heat. No heat, you can bundle up gloves.
A week. I lasted a week with no heat in that car, and it got traded in. Anyway, Hate on site is the legit thoughtful hookup.
This is love on site.
Love on site. The legit thoughtful hookup. The example is when we went to Dandelion.
Yes.
And the girl that you have the connection with came and took care of us and was super nice and, you know, dropped off a bunch of stuff at the table.
Yep.
And it was on the strength of your relationship with her.
Beautiful person.
And it was something that it wasn't, she didn't do it for any other reason than the fact that she really enjoys you as a friend.
Yes. Yeah. We had a great, and you know, you could, I don't know if you noticed, like when we would just look talking to each
other. Yeah. No, I'm surprised so you guys are fucking.
Other. Hey man, she's a wonderful person. So. Right. Mine is an unexpected free dinner. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Gabe. So the other night we went out and I'm always ready, right? You gotta stay ready.
Yeah.
Dollars in the
pocket. Stay ready so you be ready.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, something Marco and then Gabe, you know, took care of it. He opened his man purse, his
now it looked like
plastic.
like an 80-year-old woman's coupon book.
Crazy, so it was crazy. It did look like a coupon book.
Looked like 42 credit cards. Yeah,
it was
all with his name on it.
Where'd you go?
For real. We went to Picanha. On 11th and Spruce.
Is that a Brazilian steak?
Yeah. Yo, surprisingly, it was better than it was when we were there last time.
Man, I can't recommend it. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying it was better than it was when we were there.
I think the service leaves something to be desired.
Definitely. The picanha was actually good, though. For some reason, I don't know if I paid better attention this time, but it seemed like they had a thicker fat cap.
I would go to Fogo or Chima before.
Definitely.
That.
Timmy, love on site?
Chicken thighs.
Chicken thighs. Is that a nickname for Nicolette?
You're like thighs in general for you,
huh? Is that your cute wife's son?
No? I made chicken thighs for the first time in a long time.
Colloquialism.
But normally it's tenders or breasts.
Hey.
But chicken thighs are, I think they're very underrated. That's my new thing.
Nah, they're delicious.
They're delicious, right? They're high fat content.
They are
another,
my favorite.
Another thing you might want to watch out for. Yeah.
I'll go to a fast food chicken joint and I'll just order, just give me three chicken thighs.
Second day of fasting.
Oh, really?
Well, I fasted all day yesterday. I had one meal. Today I'm fasting.
Wait. You fasted all day yesterday, but you had one meal.
And then I had one meal.
So you didn't fast all day yesterday?
Oh, I fasted for about 24 hours.
So like dinner to dinner.
From
like
11 before, okay, gotcha,
p.m. to gotcha. Like 11 p.m.
How'd you feel?
You all right?
You get into the autophagy?
Nah, it just sucks. The first 10, 12 hours is when you feel kind of like hungry and shit. Right. And now I feel fine.
Taking caffeine in between or
anything? Oh, yeah.
You can do that.
A lot of caffeine.
Yeah. Let me ask, because I was thinking about maybe trying to get a day or two in of doing it.
Why not?
Do you take your supplements while you're doing it or no?
Yeah, it depends on which ones, but I usually take
some
my D.
Some you don't want to take on an
I take
stomach.
My D, yeah. I take my vitamin D on days that are I'm fasting. So, and there's different types, man. There's all kinds of types. You can do dinner to dinner, you know what I mean? You can do breakfast to breakfast, whatever the case is, so.
But I think what
it's
I'm going
to different ways.
What I'm planning on doing after this one, I have to figure out my because I went and worked out a little bit today.
Yeah.
I felt like shit.
Yeah. That happens.
So what I might do is take Saturdays off from training.
Right.
And then fast from Saturday till Sunday night.
Is there open mat tonight at your place? Is there evening open mat on Saturdays?
No.
Or is that okay? No. That's usually on like a holiday weekend, right?
No, we don't ever have a Saturday night.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought there was something.
But no, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to do fasting from Saturday to Sunday night.
I would go into
part of recovery.
Just try to go in it gradually and do it little by little, see how you feel. And experiment with
it. I've done 36 or 48 before. It was cool.
Yeah, because the last time I did the 10 days, the first time I worked out, and that's air quotes because I'm just using my kettlebell at home. Mm-hmm.
So but this could be a breakthrough for you to get rid of those, you know, what did they say on YouTube?
The Pudgy Proud Boy.
Yeah,
That's what it is, man. It's one of those things. So what's for dinner tonight?
I don't know. That's a good question. I wanted to go to Glick's and get ribs.
Oh yeah.
The other day, but my wife jammed me up. She had something to do. Oh, see what I'm saying? And I let her know that she jammed me up. Well, I didn't let her know. She'll hear now. Honey, I wanted to go get us ribs the other day, but you were busy doing some bullshit.
You ruined it. Timmy, what's for dinner? You know,
chicken thighs.
Oh, that's nice. How we prepare.
It was a pack of two, so I'm gonna have the other one.
There's only two.
Well, no, it was like
you don't prepare one for your wife.
It was like I got it at Wegmans. It was like two. It was in a plastic thing.
Yes.
And there was two segments.
It's called a container.
Yeah, plastic container.
Yeah.
But it was two containers joined together in the middle.
Do you make some for Nicolette or no?
Yeah.
She had some.
But she makes her own food. She cooks for herself.
No, she doesn't actually.
What about you? What do you got for on deck?
I have no idea. I have no plans.
I don't know.
You're done your fasting?
Yeah. It was just
what'd you break
days.
It with?
I made ground beef and kale. And then I shit myself for 2 days.
How much ground beef?
About a pound.
Was it like 70-30?
That's
probably why.
Yeah. The fat.
It was a lot of that
comes
kale,
out in the pan.
And the kale too. So I've been real heavy on the kale. It's, you know, I buy a big bag.
Have you been taking the quercetin?
Yeah, I started the quercetin. It makes you feel a lot better. And ubiquitol. I took it that night. That ubiquitol. It's everywhere.
It means ubiquitous.
It's
ubiquitous.
Yeah, it means everywhere.
Do we got questions? Because I saw one on Ninja Rob. You want me to read it out?
Yeah, read that one.
So this is from Jordan Kelly. We love Jordan, whoever he trains with you, right?
No.
Oh.
He's just a fan.
Okay, nice. But love the last two podcasts. Tim takes a roast like a champ. Ha ha.
He does.
What's the difference between an early blue belt and a late blue belt?
Good one.
Time.
Talent.
Ba-boom, psh. Ba-boom,
psh. That's a. I mean, it's yeah. a. It's an odd question. Not an odd question. It's kind of tough to like. What's the look? An early blue belt is somebody that just made it to blue, right? A late blue belt is someone that is very close to getting purple.
Right, he's on the cusp. Right? Is on the part
of becoming a real jiu-jitsu person.
Right.
It's the same at every belt, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's an interesting point though. Now,
so when you're a blue belt, it's important.
Early, like you get it early, or you get it late, like you take you get it.
That's a good question.
You get it in 4 months, or do you get it in 4 years?
That's a good. Point.
That's a good way to couch it too. Well, yeah.
What do you think? And that. And
that's what that, I. That's why I said talent. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. That's what you're right.
So yes. if you're progressive, if you do the things the right way, if you're catching on quickly, then boom, you get it right.
Or you coming in with a skill set that you're like, wow, this is you know. This skill set's really.
But if it's early, as in like the way you guys said it first.
Like early in your blue belt
career. Early in your blue belt career, I think I've said it before, when I give people blue belt, it's usually like, it's me saying like, I know you have it in you to like be legitimate.
Right.
Like it's not like, you're not great. You're not really good. Right. It's like you got some stuff
Attaboy.
Down,
right.
You're doing well. And if you keep going, you're going to get it. And like, I use it as like a push forward, like sort of a.
Cause there is a beginning and end when it comes to rank. So as soon as you get it, you're working, it's sort of like you'll fill that void, mm-hmm. and then once that's full, you'll move on to the next.
Yeah, no matter what we say, it's always nice to get.
Yeah.
No matter, it's not the belt's not important. It is. You know, the stripes, if you give them out, are important.
Even in some cases, honorary ones too.
But also, you know, like if it helps in the long run motivate someone and they get to stay and they get to flourish at some point.
Right.
You know, you eat your own bullshit and be like, nah, it's not what it's about. It's like, you know what? It's not always about how I think it needs to be. Sometimes it's about what's best to make him or her grow and progress.
Understand that they want to go keep moving forward. It's an important thing, man. I think it's a.
Did you find the rest of the question?
Keep shooting
your shots.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. What's the next one?
I have one too that got texted to me that we could cover.
All right. Mine are all kind of jokes.
Oh, awesome.
So, popular Andy and Andrew Naur.
Popular?
Famous. Hollywood screenwriter.
Oh, is that your boy from... Yeah. How's he doing?
Doing good, as far as I know. I haven't really talked to him in a while.
Okay.
But he said, because I posted a picture on Instagram of a Sambo guy without legs.
I saw that.
So he said, how do you leg lock a man with no legs? I would say you arm bar him.
Yeah.
Because that...
If or you do some sort of hip...
Neck crank.
Hip crush. You go after his hips.
Neck crank.
I would say somebody with no legs, their arms are their legs.
Yeah.
Their arms are both. Their arms and legs.
So agreed, yes.
So arm bar.
Yeah, you heel hook his arms.
Yeah.
Wrist hook.
Wrist lock.
Wrist hook.
Can you wrist? You should be able to wrist lock in that. In that it should be totally legal.
That's an interesting. I'm going to see if I can.
That's it. Yo.
I just invented a move.
Heel hook a wrist.
Heel hook a wrist.
That's it, son. What's next?
Go ahead, Tim. You got any more? I got to find this other one.
Nah,
that's the only question you had?
Well, I had Glock Dad.
Glock Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Glock Dad. All right. Yeah.
We know what he likes.
He asked me, how is El Guapo doing? He's doing great.
Love Guapo.
He's doing great.
Should have killed Meeps. Should have let him kill Meeps. Would have been much better for us.
Almost 11 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? He's a good man. Trusty Steed.
Wow. Guapo. Yeah, he's a good friend, man.
Yo, beautiful.
Only guy I ever took a shit on my mat that I was okay with.
Son, great guy. Love that guy. Miss him. I haven't seen him in a while. I miss being slobbered on, Guap. Thank you so much. Hey, we get those yet?
So, I can't remember. I can't find the question.
Who was it from?
It was from a guy that just joined. So
we'll get to you next time.
No, found
or,
it.
Marco got we got it.
No, not the sorry, oh, wrong
not
one.
You.
Nah, yeah. Give me two more seconds.
Two more seconds, guys. I'm just gonna talk.
Yes. Okay.
Let's go. I think we passed the 2 hour mark, by the way.
Sorry.
Good.
Yeah, let's go.
That's cool.
Ready? Done.
Huh?
Peace.
Tim and I would like to thank our sound engineer and studio owner, Devin Wade, for always doing a great job with the sound, but also the beautiful facility that we get to use here at SFX Studios. would also like to thank Eddie Lynn, who takes and donates his time to the podcast to do all the video editing and everything you see on our social media. So really appreciate that from Eddie Lynn. And we'd also like to thank our friend Ralphie Darden, aka DJ Major Taylor, who gave us the original music that we use. So you're welcome, Tim.
For and almost me. Just as importantly as everybody else that he mentioned, we would like to thank all of our listeners that submitted questions.
This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter, the podcast for the true martial artist.